Yes.
I do.
You have to look at your two phase days, sir. In phase one, when the terms, conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And then in phase two, you determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So for phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it one allegation at a time with one. And after I read it, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false.
Oh, Mr. Will, can I just read his name and ABC number? And I was just a little delayed on starting the recording, so I'm just going to just read his name. Christopher Thomas, ABC number 273526. Sorry for the delayed start of this recording. Thank you.
All right, technical difficulties. Okay, Mr. Thomas, so allegation number one is a violation of everyone condition of supervision number five. Okay, they typed it twice. So it's a violation of everyone condition of supervision number five as demonstrated by your possession of an illegal substance on or about June 22nd, 2018 in Maricopa County, Arizona. Is that true or false, sir?
Well, it's false.
False. Okay. Since you say it's false, we're going to ask Mr. Turner to go over the allegation with a little more information. Mr. Turner?
Yes, sir. This thing is quite lengthy. Allegation number one. On June 22nd, 2018, at approximately 12:09 hours, Officer Lopez, number 302 from Salt River Police Department, conducted a traffic stop on a white Chevy Impala bearing Arizona license plate of CEL 7512 while in the area of McCullough Road and Dobson Road in Scottsdale, Arizona. Upon approaching the vehicle, Officer Lopez explained to the driver the reason he had stopped him was due to the back license plate not being clearly readable due to it having a large black smudge mark on the license plate, which was making the letter on the license plate difficult to read. The driver then stated it was not his car and that he had just borrowed it from his friend who was at the casino. Officer Lopez next asked the driver for his license and registration of the vehicle. While speaking to the driver, Officer Lopez noticed, based off his body language, that he appeared to be nervous and did not really want to talk to him. The driver continued to look away and talk in a real low voice, making it difficult for Officer Lopez to hear him or understand him at times. Officer Lopez asked the driver if there were any drugs or weapons inside the vehicle, at which time he was handing him his registration. His hand began to shake. Officer Lopez explained these observations to him and asked the driver if there were any drugs or weapons inside the vehicle, to which he stated no multiple times. The driver was identified to be Christopher Paul Thomas, date of birth 2/16/1978. Due to Christopher not being the owner of the vehicle and not wanting to give Officer Lopez consent to search the vehicle, Officer Lopez had Christopher call his friend, whom he borrowed the vehicle from, so he could speak to him. Upon conducting a records check, Officer Lopez was advised by Salt River Police Communications that Christopher had a valid warrant, OCA-150-82372, out of Mesa Police Department. Officer Lopez then made contact with Christopher's friend, who he borrowed the car from. He identified himself to be Kevin. While speaking to Kevin, Officer Lopez explained the situation to him, at which time Kevin said he was not the owner of the vehicle, that his grandmother was, and that he was just using the vehicle. Kevin also stated he would not give Officer Lopez permission to search the vehicle. It was at that time Officer Lopez advised Kevin, due to Christopher having a valid warrant, he was going to be arrested and the vehicle was going to be towed. Kevin no longer wanted to talk to Officer Lopez and hung up. Officer Lopez then approached Christopher and explained to him he had a valid warrant and that he was going to be placed under arrest. Christopher then exited the vehicle, at which time, at approximately 12:23 hours, Officer Lopez detained Christopher by placing him in the double lock handcuffs to the rear. Upon conducting a pat-down search of Christopher, Officer Lopez asked him if he had anything that was going to poke him or stick him in his pockets. Christopher stated no, at which time Officer Lopez began a pat-down search. While searching Christopher's left side, Officer Lopez felt what appeared to be a needle in his left cargo pocket. Officer Lopez asked Christopher what that was and asked him if it was a needle. Christopher did not say anything, at which time Officer Lopez could see inside of Christopher's pocket, and based on him touching the item from the outside of his pocket, that it was in fact a needle. Upon removing the needle, Officer Lopez also removed a spoon and shoelace, which is commonly used to tie around your arm in order to make veins more visible to inject drugs and or medications into the bloodstream of the body. When asked about the items, Christopher stated he forgot that he had the items in his pocket. Christopher was then secured in the back of a fully marked patrol car. Upon conducting his search of the vehicle, Officer Lopez located in Christopher's wallet two small clear plastic baggies, which were empty, and a small piece of rolled up yellow paper with a crystal residue substance inside of it. Further search of the vehicle revealed that there was a blue and black Swiss backpack on the right front passenger seat. Upon searching the backpack, Officer Lopez located a black, long, rectangular Samsung case, which contained a clear plastic baggie of black tar substance inside of it, along with a clear baggie containing a crystal rock substance, as well as a black rolled-up baggie, which later investigation revealed there to be 15 small white morphine pills. The other drugs were caught and were located inside the vehicle. Approximately 12:41 hours, Officer Lopez read Christopher his Miranda warnings from his standard-issue Miranda warnings card, in which he stated yes to understanding. Officer Lopez began speaking to Christopher, at which time he admitted to the backpack being his and all the items I located inside of the backpack belonging to him, including the drugs. Christopher stated he has been wanting to get off drugs, but can't and just keeps getting sent back to prison due to the drug problem. Christopher stated the black baggie contained morphine pills and that he found them at a halfway house behind a bed. Christopher stated he was also on parole and had just recently been released from prison. It should be noted prior to Christopher telling Officer Lopez the backpack was his, when asked about the backpack when he was placed in the handcuffs, he stated it was not his. While searching the backpack, I located a pawn slip with his name and date of birth inside of it. Christopher was advised he was being arrested for his valid, and Christopher Lopez would be long form charging to include ARS 13-3407A1, possession of dangerous drug, ARS 13-3408A1, possession of narcotic drug, and ARS 13-3406A1, possession of prescription drugs. Officer Lopez also advised Christopher that he would be contacting his parole officer, advising him of the incident. Christopher was then transported and turned over to Mesa Police Department. Res Hawk Towing arrived and took possession of the vehicle at approximately 13:56 hours. Officer Lopez conducted a field test on the crystal substance, which received a positive test for the presence of methamphetamine. In total, Christopher was in possession of 0.8 grams of meth, 1.0 grams of heroin, and 3.8 grams of morphine pills, with a total of 15 pills. All items were impounded into the Salt River property as evidence bureau and will be sent for scientific testing. Follow-up: on 6/28/18, the offender was released on bond from the Mesa City Jail. On 7/3/2018, the offender was arrested by Mesa Regional Parole Office staff, then returned to ADC custody.
Okay, thanks, Sheriff.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Thomas, before we continue, I made a minor error when I told you what your choices were about that allegation, and when I said true or false, since we have a report from Ron Warren indicating there may still be criminal charges pending out there. So you also have the choice of pleading the Fifth Amendment. So at this point, before we go on, I'm going to ask you as far as what I believe and say you can plead the Fifth and not talk about it. Our hearings are recorded and it's public information, so anything that's recorded here could be used against you in a court proceeding, so we give you that opportunity not to say anything that might be detrimental to you. Okay? You understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so after having the allegation read, you want to tell me what's false about it, or do you want to plead the Fifth?
No, I'll tell you what's false about it.
Okay.
I don't have any criminal charges pending against me. I mean, I'm sure he's got a computer that he can look it up, like, I have no charges pending against me. The only thing they arrested me for that day was they said I had a warrant out of Mesa, so the Saltwater Police Department took me and dropped me off in Mesa to another police officer who picked me up, took me to misdemeanor Mesa jail, and then housed me there, and then I bonded out. The next week, the judge dropped all the charges for the misdemeanor warrant and whatever it was for, because I was in prison when it came out. how do I have a failure to appear when I was in prison in 2015? That's what it's for criminal trespassing. Anyway, she dropped it all. But the salt, the whole salt river thing is, like, you can look up EPR, I have zero charges pending, because I did try to take the blame for the stuff. My brother's never been to prison. That their friend, they kept saying, that's my brother. I don't know why they're saying friend, that's my brother. And I just figured, like, I don't know, it was a heat of the moment. It was his car, I was driving it. He already went down there and told the police department after they arrested me. Later that evening, he went back down there with my grandmother and his grandma, and they explained everything, that the car was his and that everything in there was his, blah, blah, blah. They never filed charges against me. I have zero charges pending against me. So technically, without the parole officer told me, the only thing we're arresting you for is behavior. Because you did get arrested.
Sir, okay.
Yeah.
We can get into more details. I'm going to move the hearing forward this time. So, based on all the information in number 2018-0805 for allegation number one, and the information received from the Department of Corrections, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Thomas was the one who has evaluated terms and conditions of the supervision, and that he may have lapsed or not lapsed in the criminal ratings for company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Dr. Wagner, agreed by Mr. Coons. Okay, so we're going to move into phase two at this time, but before we actually get started, Mr. Kern's going to give some background information. So stand for a moment, back to you in a couple minutes. Okay, Mr. Kern?
Yes, Mr. Thomas was released from ADC custody on 3/23/2018 and arrested on 6/22/2018 by Salt River Tribal PD on new charges of felony drug charges along with the Mason warrant. Returned back to ADC custody on 7/3/2018 with a CSED of 10/21/2018, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2015, commitment B, count 1, dangerous drug violation, 2 years, 9 months. 2015, commitment C, count 1, narcotic drug violation, 2 years, 9 months. Prior convictions, 2012, armed robbery, 3 years. This is his second term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3.3, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 3. He had STG information. He admitted to being a member of the criminal street gang South Siders from Florida. Prior terms of supervision, 2014, TIS release, completed 6 months. Disciplinary is moderate with drugs, threatening, and criminal damage noted. Other arrest, 2002, forgery, Florida, felony conviction, state prison. 2003, dangerous drug violation in Florida, felony conviction, state prison. 2003, child adult abuse, Florida, felony conviction, state prison. 2006, failure to appear, first degree, felony, Florida, state prison. 2007, DWI, license suspended, revoked, Florida, felony conviction, state prison. 7/9/2018, sentenced for certain drug offense, Arizona, pending charges. Other information, G7, he's a G7 B7. I got a little tongue-tied.
Pardon?
I got a little tongue-tied, apologize.
Yes.
So GB score of G7 B7.
So are these the charges from this?
From what I'm seeing, there is pending charges for the drug charges, and on our other, there is possibly a pending hold by Salt River PD.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Thomas, we're going over a summary of the case of the living. And the paperwork to separate. Okay, so you were released in March. You were approved residence was 28 Town Hall from Mesa. Then on June 22nd, 2018, you were discharged from the Mesa house due to failing to return to the residence. Then on
I was arrested.
Pardon me, sir?
I was arrested for this. That's why I didn't return.
Okay. Well, you were discharged because you didn't come back. It's not a matter of why you didn't come back, it's a matter of that you didn't come back, and that's why they write up the discharge paperwork, because they don't know where you're at. Now, it says on June 30th, 2018, you established residence at Changes at 1344 South Mesa Drive in Mesa, Arizona, and that was the last known address. So it's, once you got out on bond, you got out in Mesa, that's when you established residence at Changes?
Right.
Okay. So you were working for a town state investor supply in Mesa?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Did you work there most of the time you were out?
The whole time I was out.
Okay.
It's my uncle's company.
Oh, well, that's good. You've got some family support like that, that's a difficult thing when you're released from BLC. Program says you referred to CHC classes for substance abuse. In complete intake process, I did not complete the program. How much did you attend before you got arrested and got in trouble?
I was going to NA meetings 7 days a week, required by the Half House, which is pretty cool. And then the CHC classes were 2 days a week, required by the parole office. And I was attending all of them until I was arrested. I've never had a DWA. I've been clean for a long time.
Okay, well, yeah, I figured the CHC, that's usually a fairly long course or program, so, and it doesn't say they discharge or anything else like that, so. But that's good that you were attending that, and then for task, they assigned you that March 30th, 2018. You had 280 UAs that were required.
Yep.
So it's on the 22nd of June, you failed to report to the task.
When I was arrested.
Right, that will ask them. That's what you can ask them. That's the one they're going to send you to there. So that's all pretty good. So I'm going to go back to this, a few details about this allegation, okay? The stuff in the back of the backpack and the stuff in the backpack belonged to your brother, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, him and my grandmother went down to the Salt River Police Station later that evening.
Okay, that's what you're saying, but that was your brother's backpack, okay?
Yes.
What about the stuff that was found in your pocket? It was on you, but physically on your person.
It was in the door of the car, so I was trying to, I knew we were going to find it, and my brother has never been in trouble in his whole life. My grandma's 80-something years old. I've been in trouble. I know the system.
Okay.
The system doesn't bother me. So, like, getting in trouble, like, if I had to be locked up so he can still pursue his college career and take care of grandma like he's been doing while I've been away, I was cool with that at the time. That might not sound logical to a lot of people, but I just...
Okay, but...
I've seen the situation.
So the meter was in your pocket, and you say you put it there when you got...
Yeah, I went to the car door, because I knew the cop would see it when the door opened. So I just grabbed it and shoved it in my pocket real quick.
So we'll get back down to this then. So did you know that your brother had any illegal substances in his backpack?
In the backpack, no. I had no idea about any of that stuff. I only seen your brother was in the door.
So but there's a needle there and you're worried about it. So you knew your brother was using drugs?
I knew he had a problem, yeah.
Okay.
I knew he had a problem, but he didn't like... I was trying to get him to go to NA meetings that the halfway house was having me go to, but he just didn't want to go. It's hard to talk people into going to that. I used to be a skeptic too about it, but then when I started going, I seen it was good, and I tried to get him to go, and he's just, I don't know, he's just not doing good.
Okay. So that was your grandmother's car?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to see if my fellow member has any questions at this time. Mr. Trey, you have some more information for us?
Yes, sir. I'd like to read a note. He stated that he went to all of his classes at CHC, and that is not correct. On 4/27/2018, which is prior to his arrest, I'm going to read the note. Christopher Thomas, ADC number 273526, did not attend group on 4/20/18. He has now missed three classes on 4/10, 4/13, and 4/20/18, and exceeded the number of allowances, and he was discharged from the program. He did go in and see his parole officer and was placed back in the class and directed not to miss any more classes.
Okay. I can easily explain that. The only reason that is because the NA meetings, they're mandatory. The DAF officer three times a week, and they were on the exact same days that CHC assigned me to go to the exact same time.
Sir?
So my parole officer.
Okay, but you worked that out with your TO, right?
Yeah, and
okay, so,
half hours.
Right. I mean, you're missing classes, you got discharged, you talked to your PO, you got to reinstated, and you did okay after that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. Any other questions from the board? Any other information? Okay, sir, we're really needed of your hearing at this time. We're going to go into discussion in a couple of minutes to make a determination. But before we do, I'd like to give you an opportunity to give a final statement. Give us any other information you think might be pertinent to our decision, but we ask that you don't repeat the information we've already gone over.
The best thing I can tell you is I had a job since day one. I've been at the same halfway house until I got arrested. And I've been going to all the NA meetings. I've always turned in clean your analysis. I've done everything I'm supposed to be doing out there. And I just got in a little situation, but I was only arrested on the warrant. There's no charges filed pending against me. Any computer will tell you that right now. Otherwise, I'd probably be in here going crazy. But I'm just saying, I've done everything I was supposed to doing in the treatment, everything that I thought was working good, because to be honest with you, I'm a drug addict. I can't lie about that. That's what I am. And prison isn't any help for a drug addict. There's more drugs in here than it is out there sometimes. I mean, it just is what it is. So I just want to go back out and go back to work, because I have a job. I have things, property. I have a vehicle that I own. And I don't know what happened to that by now. But I'm just saying, technically, I was doing everything I was supposed to do.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be doing a discussion, making a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're addressing you, but it won't be. So we ask you to remain silent, but stay on the line, and you can listen to the whole conversation, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're moving on to discussion. Well, Mr. Thomas overall has a fairly decent record, but he's only got 31 days left on his sentence. Anyway, but the more people can arrest him, then if he's trying to take hit for his brother, that's really a violation of terms and conditions. He knew that he saw it, and he knew the story. He knew his brother had a drug problem, so he's associated with somebody that's doing criminal activity. Prescription drugs and tar and between crystal meth. The whole thing might be is the fact that Mr. Thompson had 31 days left on his sentence. I'm not seeing him as a good candidate for return to the supervision at this time, but I'm going to listen to discussion from him and my fellow board members.
Just for the record, I think it's 2 months left.
There's 2 months left?
October 21st?
It was
October 21st.
I just want to make sure that
in 61, not 30. But it's 2 months.
Pardon me. I agree with you. Just want to make sure that we were speaking the same language on the time that was left.
Agree. Okay, special law information number 2018W1805, and information from Department of Corrections and Mr. Thomas' testimony. I'm going to We vote the community supervision of Mr. Townsend, his making violated terms of the district supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal case or committee.
Second.
Agree. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Canoas, and by Dr. Ray. Okay, Mr. Thomas, we're referring to revoke your community supervision this time, and it was my error, yes, about 61 days left, which is 2 months. Make yourself a plan, get hold of your employer, and see if they'll abide by the full 2 months. Hopefully they will. We do wish you the best of luck. We don't want to see you back in here again, and hopefully this time through DLC will help you eliminate your need for drugs and groups of where your charges have all seemed to come from, drugs and that type of stuff. We do wish you the best of luck. We don't want to see you back in here. We'd like to see you out being a productive citizen, taking care of your grandmother, and helping your brother if he still needs help. So this will be your hearing, sir, and if you don't mind, please put the seal three back on the phone.